Praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to be sharing the Word of God with you today. We're in week two of our Home Friendship Group series, Ascend the Mountains That Made Me. This series focuses on the various mountain experiences that shaped Moses' walk with God and also his development as a man of God and a leader. The principles we discover will really help us grow as Christians and leaders. Let's open in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful for all your many blessings. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as we open the word of God, I pray that you will speak to each one of us, that you will anoint my lips to bring whatever you want us to learn. Lord, we just thank you once again in Jesus' name for what you're going to say to each of us today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, last week we learned about Moses' experience at the burning bush on Mount Horeb. It was there Moses received his calling and the start of his ministry. Excuse me. God called him to a life of spiritual growth, despite all the excuses Moses made as to why he couldn't possibly fulfill God's wishes. But he did. But that was not the only mountain experience for Moses. Today, we're going to look at a second mountain experience that dramatically impacted on Moses' life and the life of the nation of Israel. Now, a lot happened between Moses' experiences, you know, on Mount Horeb and on this second mountain that we're going to talk about now. And I'm sure you'll be familiar with how Moses returned to Egypt, announced the will of God to the children of Israel, and confronted Pharaoh. God worked signs and wonders to reveal himself both to the Egyptians and to the children of Israel. And finally, we know the story, Pharaoh decided to let them go free. You'll also remember how God parted the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army that Pharaoh sent out to recapture the children of Israel because he changed his mind. I just might pop in here something about this phrase, the children of Israel. It's a bit odd, but whenever I've read the King James Version or the New King James Version, I've always thought that an odd expression, the children of Israel, and never understood it. And I really was not keen on using that phrase myself. I'd say, you know, the people of Israel or the Israelites. But just the other day when I was reflecting on this, it suddenly came to me. So I believe God showed me finally after 50 years walking with him what that meant, that Israel wasn't just the nation like I'd been thinking. Israel was the nation, and then the children of that nation of Israel just didn't make sense to me because they weren't all children. And then the Lord showed me or reminded me that Jacob was renamed Israel. And so the truth is that all these people that were slaves in Egypt were the children or the descendants of Jacob. So that's why they're called the children of Israel. So that was a bit of a revelation doing this study. So thank you, Lord. But I still may not use it very often, okay? So among these Israelites or children of Israel that came out of Egypt, there were those who constantly murmured and complained instead of being thankful. But somehow Moses managed to lead them all to the mountain where it all started for him. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And I read in the New King James Version. So he said, meaning God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you, Moses, he's talking to, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So we notice here that God told Moses the plan was to leave Egypt and return to the same mountain where he was standing. And we know that was Mount Horeb. Now let's go to chapter 19 of Exodus, verses 1 to 5. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. What a beautiful scripture, isn't it? And then we go on to verse 16 to 18. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So you'll notice here that Moses led the Israelites to a mountain, but this time it wasn't called Mount Horeb, but Mount Sinai. You see that in verse 18. Was Moses confused? Or maybe God had lost his GPS? I don't think so. And thankfully, we do have a simple explanation. Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are actually the same place, the same mountain, just with two different names. And you'll know that the desert where this mountain stood was called Sinai, or the desert of Sinai, Sinai desert. So maybe that's why the difference in names, because Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb would have been the most significant geographical feature in that desert. Now, there are two important points here for us to remember, though. First of all, the Word of God is true as recorded in its original language, every statement, every fact. So please don't ever allow people who say, oh, I found a contradiction in the Bible, don't allow them to chip away at your faith, because there is always an explanation. And to prove that, let's read 2 Timothy 3:16. Second Timothy 3:16 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice that, all scripture. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. And another interesting thing to remember and understand is the connection between believing the words of the Old Testament and the words of Jesus in the New Testament. And we can see this clearly in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And secondly, God speaks to us in familiar ways. For example, if you received a word of God at a particular place and particular time of prayer, well, you might want to try going back to that same place again, maybe often. If a type of fast was particularly helpful, you might like to find time to do that again. But we don't want to make a false idol out of a process. God is not interested so much in processes these days, you know, formulas and everything. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. But we do need to understand that God does often speak to people in patterns that are unique to every person. So just embrace that fact and do whatever is necessary for you to hear from God. I know just how important it is that we personally hear from God. But first, we've got to be able to recognize the voice of God, and that takes experience, trial and error. But as you grow in the Lord, you will learn to recognize the voice of God, because God will speak to you in a way that you can understand. Now, I work here in the church with the deaf ministry, and the deaf hear from God in different ways, just like us hearing people hear from God in different ways. And I'll never forget this one brother who was blind and deaf, if you can imagine that. How's God going to speak to him? Well, in his mind, he had in front of him sort of, he described it like a TV set, like a screen, and he would see in his mind's eye a figure of Jesus, a big figure of Jesus, and then on the other side, a little figure of a man, which was he himself. And Jesus would sign in Auslan, the Australian Sign Language, to him. I thought that was just so beautiful. Now, that won't be the experience of every deaf person, but that just shows how unique we are and how special we are to God, that he will speak to each of us somehow so that we can be sure that we've heard, or in the case of this brother, seen God speaking to us. Isn't that beautiful? So encouraging. So I really do encourage each of you to make sure you know the voice of God, recognize it, listen, and obey. Because we know that all people are equally important to God. He's not a respecter of persons. You know, we're all individually important and loved by God. But God does just call some people to a higher level or a role of leadership. That's a fact, like Moses. And those people have individual experiences with God that are not always the same as they are for others. You know, we might read biographies about famous Christian leaders or missionaries, and we might be in awe of the way that God speaks to them and leads them. But on some level, God can do that with you and me as well. Thank you, Jesus. And certainly God has certain expectations of these leaders, because remember the Bible says, doesn't it, that to whom much is given, much will be required. So a leader in a position like Moses has an incredible responsibility, and God will require much more from that person than from you and me. But we're all unique. And I just want to emphasize again that if we're not called to be a leader like Moses, that doesn't make us any less important to God, because we all have a role to play in his kingdom. And I was encouraged to hear recently that a leader is just a person who influences people. And we know that that could be for good or for bad. We know stories about these cultish leaders that deceive hundreds, thousands of people into following them. So a leader is anyone really that exerts influence over others. I pray that we'll all be leaders that influence others for good. But then there are leaders that maybe have one of the fivefold ministry gifts and their distinct leadership roles. But let's remember that we can all be leaders in some way. We're going to look at Exodus 19 again. We know that in Exodus 19 that God appeared before the whole nation of Israel. They were all at the foot of Mount Sinai and witnessed an incredible display of God's power. There was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud descended upon the top of the mountain. The sound of a trumpet was extremely loud, and as you can imagine, all the people down there were trembling. It was pretty scary stuff. And then God descended upon the mountain in fire, causing a huge amount of smoke to rise up, just like out of a furnace, the Bible said. And the mountain even began to shake. Just imagine if you'd been there at that time, witnessing all that. How would you have reacted? How do you think the people there reacted to this final display of God's power? You know, they'd seen all the amazing, those 10 plagues, those 10 things in Egypt, they'd seen God's power there, and then taking them, parting through the Red Sea and keeping them, feeding them and looking after them. But this was just an amazing final display of God's power. I wonder how Moses reacted. How did he, as the leader, respond? The Bible tells us the trumpet sounded again and became louder and louder. And then Moses spoke to God. And I think from this we can see how one defining characteristic of a leader is the ability to overcome fear in some crucial moment. Moses was probably just as frightened as everybody else. And the Bible tells us over and over in the Old Testament particularly, you know, do not fear, or do not become afraid. So it's okay to feel fear, but that doesn't have to cause us to freeze and not act. It's okay. You just do whatever you have to do with that fear inside and trust God. And so Moses, just like everybody else, must have been in awe and certainly have some element of fear in him, but maybe not quite as much as those folk around the bottom of the mountain. Why would that be? Well, because he already had personal experiences with his God. He had seen the burning bush, remember? He had removed his shoes in humility because that was holy ground, and he'd actually engaged in conversation with the great I Am. And when Moses spoke to God, God actually answered and spoke back to him. So now here at the foot of Mount Sinai, after this magnificent display of fireworks and all the accompanying drama, God calls Moses to come up to the top of the mountain alone. But Moses had come to trust God implicitly, so he obeyed and started up the mountain. And that shows us too that we must also develop a deep personal relationship with God. How would we do that? Well, there are many ways. For example, through prayer. And remember, prayer is not you or me doing all the talking to God. Prayer is communication with God. And when you communicate, it's like a conversation. You talk and then you listen to see what God says. So that's why we can pray without ceasing, because we can always be in this open, ended conversation, like 24/7. If we've got our spirit open to hear from God, then that's true prayer, this constant ability to communicate, for him to speak to me and for me to speak to him. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So that's one important way to develop your own personal relationship. And of course, studying his precious word. This is the word of God, and so we need to get stuck into it, read it, study it, memorize it, get it into our hearts. And then we need to dedicate ourselves to a life of holiness, which comes as a result of obeying the word of God. We can't depend on our parents or anyone else in the family or even our pastor if we want to make it to heaven. It's our own personal relationship with Jesus that will get us there. Now we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 21. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So now we have Moses going up the mountain, and God was beginning to speak to him, delivering to him the Ten Commandments. And what's happening meanwhile, down at the foot of the mountain, the people become even more nervous. At times, God speaks to individuals, just like he was speaking to Moses, and then God will give that individual direction for a particular group of God's people. And even though each of us can have a direct personal relationship with God, and we all need that and should strive for that, God's plan also includes leaders, like called out ones with a special leadership role, who talk with God about God's people. And Moses was that type of leader. God gave Moses specific instructions to pass on to the children of Israel. And in the next couple of verses, we see that God expected those children, those Israelites, to believe him. Let's read Exodus 20, 22 to 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves." So God expected the Israelites to believe him in all things. Why? Because they had seen God reveal himself on Mount Sinai. There was clear evidence that God was who he said he was, and that the Israelites should fear him, or that also means like respect, have a reverential fear of God, and that should result in obedience. The Israelites all heard the thunder and saw the lightning. They witnessed the fire and smelled the smoke, and they saw Moses enter into the presence of the Lord. Now we're going to get a bit personal, okay? How do you measure up? How do I measure up? When we read biblical accounts, it's very common to imagine ourselves in the role of one of the characters. I wonder if you've done that so far this lesson. Maybe did you see yourself as Moses? Or did you see yourself as a member of the congregation standing at the foot of the mountain? Take a few minutes now and just assess which of those roles most resembles your walk with God. Are you the one who is putting in the hard work of trudging up the mountain like Moses to be in the presence of God, to seek his face? Or are you one of those trembling in fear at the foot of the mountain, depending on someone else to hear from God? Many times during our walk with God, we will find ourselves in the position of depending on someone else to hear from God. Well, I sit at the bottom of the mountain, so to speak, during church services, as I hear what the Lord is saying to our church from the lips of our pastor. And I know for sure that our pastor also submits to leadership in our organisation and receives ministry from others at conferences, as well as through other various means. So I trust him that he has heard from God. But there should be times when we are in the role of Moses. That doesn't mean we'll always receive a word for the entire church or even for our whole family, although that certainly can happen. But there are sure to be times when we individually must receive a personal word from God for ourselves. I know I've experienced that many times. I've had to seek out God for an answer for the way forward. So I'm sure you have experienced that, or if you haven't yet, you will experience that. So when was the last time you heard God call you to the top of the mountain in his presence? Of course, it's probably not a literal mountain, as much as I like to be in the bush and in the mountains, but I mean just being in a special place, wherever it might be, but it's just you and God alone. I'd like to ask you, do you desire that type of experience? Do you ask Jesus to speak to you? Do you believe Jesus loves you enough to give you a word that speaks directly to your situation? Because he does love you very much. So I challenge you to see yourself in the role of Moses, meeting with God to receive a word for yourself, and maybe also a word to help others, but primarily to receive a word for yourself. Now let's think about what's happening at the foot of Mount Sinai again. And I think all of us would have expected the nation of Israel, or the children of Israel, to follow and obey Moses, wouldn't we? Well, I certainly have wondered, you know, why didn't they obey and follow Moses? But I also challenge you to see those who deliver the word of God to you, especially your pastor, in the same way. And often people who are studying the Bible for the first time have a very logical question. Why didn't the nation of Israel believe Moses and obey him? It's a good question. And likewise, it's appropriate for us to ask ourselves why we don't always believe the man of God. Often I think we say we believe, but our actions show that we don't, that we doubt or we just don't obey. And remember, actions speak louder than words. So belief in something must be followed by obedience. So why would that be that our actions don't show our belief in our pastor's words, for example? Well, sometimes I guess it's because of fear. Sometimes it's plain and simple because we don't want to submit. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to let God tell us what to do or our pastor tell us what to do. So that's something we have to individually deal with, isn't it? To have that quiet, submissive spirit and be willing to obey. And then we'll know if it was right or not by the result. In the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 tells us that 120 people were gathered, all in one place, and they were all in one accord. Have you ever wondered what might happen in our church if the church reached that position of all being in one place and in one accord? Certainly we can look around the sanctuary on a Sunday or during any kind of service and say, we're all in one place. Yeah, we're all here in one place. But are we in one accord? If the answer is yes, then we would all be in agreement, wouldn't we? We would all be focused on the same objective. We wouldn't be distracted by personal issues we have with some other believer. And we wouldn't want to be consumed with our fleshly desires, thinking or wanting to do or be somewhere else or do something else with our time. Let's listen to the reaction of the people when Moses first descended from Mount Sinai and delivered the message from God. And we read that in Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice that when the people responded, it was with one voice. Now, I remember when I was used to be in the church choir and actually leading it for a time there, that you wanted the choir to sound as one voice, harmonious. You didn't want like one soprano off key going over here, warbling away, or a tenor doing something off on their own, or someone just singing out of time. That doesn't make for a good choir. There has to be unity, a harmony. And then a choir is like one powerful voice. And that should be the goal of our church, that we are like one powerful voice saying amen to the word of God. And remember, that word amen means so be it. But it's not, you know, like in church, if someone says amen, I like to do that. I like to agree with the pastor. But it doesn't mean, oh, good on you. Yes, right, okay. That's not what amen means. So be it. That means that you're speaking faith, that whatever was declared as truth, what you're agreeing to, that word of truth that's coming forth, you're speaking faith that that will be accomplished in your life. And if I say amen, I want that accomplished in my life. Then notice what that one voice had to say there in Exodus. The people agreed to do all that God had said. And what was that all? Well, we know that the people must have agreed to do all 10 of the commandments. And they also agreed to follow all of the other stipulations God gave them in regard to their behaviour and lifestyle. Because it wasn't just the 10 commandments written on stone that Moses received up there on Mount Sinai. He also received detailed plans for the tabernacle and instructions about how to build it and everything in it. But he also received detailed instructions for how the people should live their daily lives. Just imagine being dictated by God. But God is the creator. He is our loving Heavenly Father, and he knows what's best for us. He's not trying to make our life miserable by putting us in like little boxes or confining us like that. But if we follow his instructions, we will know such blessings and life goes well for us. Excuse me. But all the people agreed to live by all the words spoken by God to Moses. Well, we know that didn't happen, but just imagine. I wonder what would happen in our city of Canberra here if everyone in our church, with one voice, not only said they agreed, but actually did all the words spoken by God to our pastor for us. And I'm going to leave it on that note. And in closing, let's pray together. Thank you, Almighty God, for your written word. Help us to follow and obey what your word says. But also, Lord God, I pray that each of us would develop our relationship with you to such an extent that we can talk with you just like Moses did. Put a desire in our hearts to hear you. Help us to hear your voice clearly. And may we seek you out and receive direction from you in every situation. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would also be in one accord each time we meet together in one place, whether that be in a church service or a Bible study, a prayer meeting or whatever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your many blessings. And I ask your special blessing upon every person that's under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and may God bless you richly and deepen your relationship with him.